Bible?
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right.
Well, we're in a brand new series entitled My Best Friend.
My Best Friend.
Of course, this is a series on the Holy Spirit.
I don't care how many best friends you have had or you have,
the Holy Spirit will be the bestest friend you ever had. Amen?
And so I'm excited about it. I'll be there in a minute,
but you can go ahead and turn to John, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse.
Of course, this is a brand new series,
and so I'm going to be laying a foundation, so that means a whole lot of scripture. Amen?
And so, of course, they'll have everything up on the screen,
and we're a technology church, and so if you want to use your phones to take pictures and that kind of thing, just do what you got to do.
And so, series entitled My Best Friend, the Holy Spirit.
Many people have heard about the Holy Spirit, but a lot of people have never really learned about the Holy Spirit or who he really is or the function he plays in our lives. And that's really what I want to talk about.
Today, if I was to have a subtopic, it would really be who is he?
Like if we're talking about my best friend, like who is he?
Who is the Holy Spirit?
And so we will be discussing in this series on the Holy Spirit, John's chapter 14, 15, and 16. And in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus introduces the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, in John chapter 13, that is what theologians say is the time frame when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. In John chapter 17 is most likely when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it's in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He is having a conversation with his disciples, and he's saying, if you remember kind of scripture, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me and my Father's house. There are many mansions. And so he's going through this whole dialogue with them, and he's really beginning to talk to them about the person of the Holy Spirit and beginning to get them to realize, hey, I'm about to leave. This is about a 12-hour span, and then Jesus has gone to be crucified and those kind of things. So let's pick it up. John, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. Of course, you understand I can't read to you John 14, 15, and 16. So in your own time, you know, in this week, I would really love for you to read that maybe in the morning or at night before you go to bed and, you know, start at verse 13 and go to at least verse 7. I'm sorry, I keep saying verse. Start at chapter 13 and go at least to chapter 17 if you can. And so I'm going to be throwing bits and pieces up here and we'll put it all together. Amen?
Amen.
John, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. It says, and I will pray or ask the Father and he will give you another, what's that word, class? Helper, that he may abide with you how often?
Forever.
So please don't let anyone ever tell you that the Holy Spirit is not for today. The Holy Spirit is for today because Jesus says that he is going to abide with you forever. Sometimes, and I'm not knocking any, you know, denominations. I'm not into that. Y'all know that. I just teach the word of God. But you will have different people that will tell you the Holy Spirit is not for today. Heavenly language is not for that. Just all these kind of things. And it just goes against what the word of God says because Jesus says that he is going to abide with us forever. He says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. He says, but you know him. Watch this now. For he dwells with you and will be in you. So it's twofold. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now I want to drop down to verse 25. And like I said, I'm going to skip a little bit, but I promise you we'll fill in all the blanks and you'll know exactly where we're going. He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. He says, but the helper, there's that word again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. Yes. Bottom line, Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher. You got it? And so now go with me to John 15 and 26. John 15 and 26. I'm going to, like I said, I have about five or six verses, and then after that, we'll kind of put it all together. John 15 and 26, there it is on the screen. It says, but when the, what's that word, class? Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. Watch what Jesus says. He says, he will testify of me. So we are all on the same page. He says, listen, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now go to John 16 and 7. John 16 and 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. In other words, guys, he's talking to the disciples. So he says, guys, this might be tough for you to take, but I promise you, I tell you the truth on this. You have to believe me on this. He says, watch this now. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because you've got to understand, at this time, the disciples have been with Jesus. They've realized that he really is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We've seen him perform miracles. He's fed the 5,000. We've seen the lame walk. And they thought that he was going to build the kingdom right there at that time. And so he knew it was going to be a lot for them to realize, no, I came, watch this, in order to give my life up so that millions can have the possibility of having a relationship with the Father again. So he tells him, I know that, like, this is cool. Y'all been hanging with me. You know that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, but it is to your advantage that I go away. Somebody say, why? I was hoping that at this point, y'all would ask why. He says, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, that's verse 7. I'm going to skip verses 8 through 11, and let's drop down to verse 12, and then we're going to put this whole thing together. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He said, listen, what I've just given you, that's enough information for right now. Because imagine you being a disciple, you being with Jesus, thinking that Jesus is always going to be here. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, you know, I came that I might give my life up. I got to lay my life down. And so it was a lot. So he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So now, let's put it all together. Jesus is with the disciples. He's on the earth. He's performing miracles. He's going to the synagogues. He's teaching. People are amazed by the words that come out of his mouth. You know, there's been doubt and unbelief as he's gone to different places. But the disciples are like, no, this is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And all of a sudden, about 12 hours before Jesus is supposed to go away, he says, listen, he says, I know this is a lot for you. He says, but it's to your advantage that I go away. And if I go away, I'm going to send you another helper, which is the Holy Spirit. Not only is he going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to help you. And so this is like a lot for them to get in a little bit of time. And so he's helping them. And there's some things that I want you to understand as we look through this. We saw the word helper four times as we begin to go through these different scriptures. Now, the word helper could be translated as comforter or counselor. Everybody say comforter or counselor. Now, in the Greek, the word helper is parakletos. Parakletos. All right. Para means alongside. Kletos means to walk. So Jesus says, I want to send someone to walk alongside of you, but not only is he going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And so now let me give you, just for my members that like Greek and Hebrew, I'll give you another Greek word that we use in today's time. We get the word parable from parabole. Everybody say para, bole. Para, of course, means alongside. Bole means to throw. And so so a parable is when Jesus throws a story alongside a truth to help us understand. You got it? And so, yeah. So, you know, I need you to get excited about this Greek words I'm teaching. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So what did you learn? I learned some Greek. I don't know what Pastor said, but I learned it. And so the KJV translates it every time as comforter. Every time as comforter. That he is our comforter. And I want you to let that sink on the inside of you, because everyone in our life has sometime went through some type of something that took us by surprise, maybe a traumatic situation. And even in those times, I want you to know that not only is he our comforter, but he's the greatest comforter. You got it. He is the one that can comfort you when it don't make no sense. He's the one that can comfort you when it feels like you're losing your mind. He's the one that can comfort you when it feels like nobody else understands what you're going through. He is the greatest teacher. He's the greatest comforter, and he's your bestest friend. Does that make sense? And that is why it is important that you cultivate a relationship with him. And so, and because he wants to help you. Everybody say he wants to help me. Yeah, and so he is our comforter. Now, most of us in the room, that you know, I'm talking spiritual, but let me just go natural for a moment. Most of us in the room in our house have a comforter. How many of y'all have a comforter in the house? Yeah, a lot of us have a comforter in the house. I remember, you know, this December, Lady LeConte and I will be married 20 years. Whoop, whoop. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's good, amen. Amen. She put up with me for 20 years, all right? I think she's going to keep me for the next 20, praise the Lord. And so, you know, we first get married. You know how it is when you first get married. Go back to when you first got married. You know, we had our wedding. I had already purchased a house, and so we had our wedding. So after the wedding, she moves in and moves all her stuff in. So she's got her stuff, and I've got my stuff, and we're going through everything, and you know, trying to figure things out, and you know, I'm figuring out her system. She's figuring out my system, and we had like these blankets, and they were just kind of like a thin blanket that we had on our bed, and we used it, you know, to just make up the bed in the day. We use it at night and those kind of things. And so we were out, I don't know, sometime, you know, lady was always looking at, you know, things. And so there was this comforter. It comes like in a pack where it has like shams and, you know, all some of y'all understand what I'm talking about, right? And it's real fluffy. I mean, it's like it's got a lot of cotton on the inside of it. And so lady's like, babe, we got to get one of those comforters. You got it? And it, I don't know, it was like $100 or something. And back then, those days, $100 was a bunch of money for us, you know? So I was like, okay, we're going to get it. And so, you know, one day I'm going to work, and she's like, hey, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get the comforter, right? So I come home, and she's like, you got to come to the bedroom. You got to come to the bedroom. So I go to the bedroom, and lo and behold, what we saw in the store was on the bed. I felt it. It was cushiony, you know? It was just really nice. And in my mind, I'm like, this is going to be the will of God. I'm going to snuggle up with this comforter when it's time to go to bed. Like, it's just, you know, and so we walk back out, and, you know, she's an amazing cook, so she cooked dinner for us, and this was before the kids and that kind of thing, and we're watching TV, and so it's time to go to bed. Now, brothers, just brace yourself for this next part, right? Because I walk in, you know, got to go get ready for bed and that kind of thing. I walk into my room, and you're not going to believe what happened. Somebody stole our comforter. And they put the old blanket back on. Now, the brothers in the house are like, Pastor, who stole your comforter? Now, the ladies already know what's going on. So I'm like, babe. She's like, what's wrong? Somebody stole our comforter. Now, you know, the word stole is something that us men, like, we like to use, you know. Like, if I go into the living room to sit down to watch TV and the remote is gone, I'm like, babe, somebody stole the remote. She's like, yeah, babe, somebody broke in, went right past the jewelry, the money, and the TV, and they stole the remote. I'm telling you, somebody stole the remote. And so I said, somebody stole the comforter. And she gave me that look like you wives give husbands, you got it, and let me know that, watch this, that the comforter was not for use, but it was for looks. I later found out in my life that there's a lot of things in my house that are not for use, but for looks. I also found out that there's some things that are in my house that if you come to my house, you can use it, but I can't use it. Those are the guest towels. So we don't mess with the guest towels because they are for the guests. We have a formal living room and we have a family room. I've learned it's okay for me to lay across the couches in the family room, but I dare not lay across the couches in the formal room because those are for the yes, y'all understand. And so let's take it back. And so she says that the comforter is not for use, but it's for looks. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And I'm wondering how many of us, you know, have the same approach that he's not for use, but he's for looks. And the Holy Spirit is not for looks, but he wants to help us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us into all truth. Isn't that right? So the Holy Spirit is not for looks. You know, how you? Oh, I'm blessed with the Lord and highly favored. Hey! That's all good and fine. I'm not knocking that, but I need him to help me. When Thursday afternoon comes and all hell is broken loose in your life, you need somebody that's going to, that still, quiet voice that's going to say, okay, calm down, breathe, relax. Remember, even though it's taking you by surprise, it's not taken by God by surprise. He already knows what he's going to do. For those of you that have been in that challenge month after month, this is your fourth month. You need the Holy Spirit to remind you the fight is not over until you win. If you keep swinging, eventually you're going to hit something. And so you've got to realize that Holy Spirit, he's not there for looks, but he's there for use. And he doesn't want you just to allow him to work in your life on Sundays or on Tuesdays. But he says, I want to help you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't want you want to be with you some of the time. I want to be with you all of the time. Does that make sense? All right. And so he wants to help you. He wants to help you, which is my first point. There's three simple things I want you to remember about the Holy Spirit. And the first one is that he's my helper. Because we're saying, who is he? Who is he? So we're trying to really figure out, you know, and I like to teach a lesson. Some of you all might say, well, Pastor, I've heard you teach on the Holy Spirit before. Well, number one, you can learn something new. And number two, we always have members. We have members joining our church almost every single Sunday, which is an amazing thing. And so there's things like Holy Spirit and faith that I have to teach on time and time again to make sure everybody comes to the same place. Does that make sense? And so the first thing, when we're asking the question, who is he? I want you to know that he is my helper. He's my helper. Everybody say, he's my helper. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It's better for me to leave and the Holy Spirit to come. And so most people, and the disciples especially, didn't realize this, is actually better having Jesus in heaven and the Holy Spirit here on the earth. Let me just tell you, it's a lot of reasons why. Number one is just the will of God, but let me help you. Back during that time, Jesus could be in one geographical location at a time. Holy Spirit is not just with us, but he is in us. So if you go to California, if you go to Maryland, if you go down to Florida, if you go way up to Vermont, he says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. Does that make sense? And so he's always, so the Holy Spirit resides in every believer. So watch this. So if you need a word from God, you don't have to go chasing the word. He's already on the inside of you. Isn't that right? Yeah, and so the scripture also begins to give us descriptions of just the role that Holy Spirit plays in our life. Before I go to John 16, I'll go there in a minute, but before I go to John 16 and 8, I like to tell people he helps us spiritually, but he also helps us naturally. He helps us in our everyday, and you know, anybody besides me ever got mad? Everybody in the room, right? You got it? And so Holy Spirit will tell you, calm down. You know, it's going to be all right. You know, count the 10 backwards. Okay, you're having a problem with that. Just count upward. 1, 2, 3. You understand what I'm saying? No, but that's what he'll do. He doesn't just want to help you, because a lot of times people think it's just only spiritual things. No, no, no. It's spiritual and natural things. So one thing I'll tell you is he will tell you what to say, and he'll also tell you what not to say. You know, I'm used to my wife cooking every day. She's an amazing cook. I come in the house. I've been working all day, and I don't smell any food. And I'm hungry. So I've been working all day, I don't smell food, I'm hungry, and if I'm not careful, that will get me irritated. See, don't play me like I'm the only one that's ever been hungry and irritated. So watch this. So the carnal side of me wants to say, what in the world has she been doing all day? Not to mention maybe she had a hard day, not to mention maybe something's going on with her, you got it? And so you know, you start working up, well, I'm going to find out what in the world is going on because I'm hungry and I need to eat and I've been working all day. And then the Holy Spirit in his still, quiet, small voice says, I wouldn't say that if I was you. Matter of fact, if I was you, I would just say, hey, honey, you want to go to dinner? That's what I would do if I was you. So he doesn't help you just with spiritual stuff, but he also helps you with natural, and that's a good place to give a Lord a big hand praise. So what am I saying? The Holy Spirit helps keep you out of trouble in your marriage. Yes, he does. All right, now John 16 and 8. John 16 and 8. Are y'all getting blessed? All right, John 16 and 8. It's on the screen. It says, and when he, we understand, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin. Before we go any further, I want to give you another word for convict that just might help you. Another word for convict is convince. All right, let me give you another one. So you could really read it is he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So three things, sin, righteousness, judgment. Now, verse 9 starts to break it down. Verse 9, 10, and 11 will break down sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so let's kind of go this route, because this is a scripture that has been widely misused in the body of Christ. And I want to make sure that I explain it to you. All right. I've heard, you know, especially fire and brimstone guys, they like to teach it a certain way, and it's just not true. God is a God of grace, and I want to explain this scripture. He says in verse 9, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So the only reason the Holy Spirit convicts, or watch this, let me say it this way. The only reason the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin is because we don't believe. You got it? Because, watch this, he's trying to convince us that we need a Savior and we need to do it his way. So when we're not saved, and anybody that is really saved, we know what true conviction is because it came upon us when we got saved. You got it? And then, I mean, prayerfully it's come upon you since you got saved, but I'm saying at least when you got saved, you know, but I don't know if there's anybody besides me. I'm hard on myself. I'm my biggest critic. I want to do right. I want to live right. I want to be the best husband, the best pastor. And that. But how many know that we all fall short of that sometimes? You got it? And how many know that we should get convicted or convinced of some things sometime so that way we can do better? Isn't that right? Because when I know better, I do better, right? And so he's trying to convince us. So the Holy Spirit convinces us so that way we can get things right. The Bible says it is the Holy Spirit that brings us to Christ. So he is how we get saved. He knocks on the door of our heart, and then we are the ones to determine, you got it, whether we're going to open up or not open up. Does that make sense? All right. And how many know that you don't have to be in church to get saved? You know, you can be on your job. Everybody, a lot of you all, everybody in this room did not get saved in church. You got saved at somebody's house. You was on your job on lunch and got saved. You know, you were watching a TV preacher and got saved. Like everybody, you know, gets saved in different places. And so you don't have to be in church to get saved. I mean, you're probably not going to die in a funeral home. It would be convenient, but you're probably not going to die in a funeral home, right? Okay. All right. So you don't have to get saved in church. All right. So go with me to John 16 and 10. John 16 and 10. Okay, so we did sin. Let's drop down to verse 10 and go with righteousness. So he says, of righteousness because I go to my Father. Now you have to understand the word righteousness and understand what this means. When he says righteousness, and please, before you throw a rock at me, I need you to listen. He's not talking about right living. He's talking about righteousness. This is something that you can't do anything to deserve. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's not our righteousness. It is his righteousness that automatically gets placed on me when I come into the kingdom of God. Watch this, which opens the door for me to walk in right living. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have to understand that. If you don't understand that, when you finally get your life together, if you're not careful, you'll think you're the one that brought you to the point you are, when it was not your righteousness, it was his righteousness, because watch this, the Bible says ours is as filthy rags. Does that make sense? All right. And so, and then in verse 11, he says, of judgment, because the ruler of this world, which we know as Satan, is judged. So you've got to understand that Jesus went back to the Father to make a connection for us so that way we could have a relationship with God. That's the bottom line. You know, I don't have time to go all the way back to the beginning. You know, the fall of man, Adam and Eve. Let me help you with something. Adam and Eve, how in the world did they get in that situation? They bought into a lie. That's about. And a lot of times we get in bad situations because we buy into a lie. You got it. So there's the fall of man, you know, and there's separation from man and God. So Jesus coming back on this earth and shedding his blood gave us the possibility of man having a relationship with an almighty God again. Amen. So let me tell you, the way this particular verse is taught most of the time is like this, and it's wrong. Okay, sin, righteousness, judgment. Three things, right? Sin, righteousness, judgment. This is the way it's typically taught. I'm a bad person. I'm not living right, and God's going to get me. I've heard it taught time and time and time again, when actually I wrote it, so I'm going to read it so to make sure I give it to you the right way. This is how God wants us to understand the scripture, that I need a Savior, and once I'm saved, I'm righteous in his sight, and Satan has no more dominion over me. That's exactly how God wants us to do it. I'm going to give it to you one more time. The way we should read this scripture is to understand that I need a Savior, and once I'm saved, I am righteous at that very moment in his sight, and now Satan has no power or no dominion over me. So watch this. I get his righteousness so I can start walking in right living. Does that make sense? So I've got to understand his righteousness comes upon me, you got it, and opens a door for me to walk in right living. And that is why I need the Holy Spirit in my life to help me. All right. Everybody needs the Holy Spirit to help them. So he's my helper. Everybody say he's my helper. All right. Number two, everybody say he's my friend. Okay. He's my friend and he's not spooky. All right. And a lot of people think the Holy Spirit is spooky only because they've seen some spooky people. Can I tell you something about spooky people? They'd be spooky if they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And Satan's job is to make us afraid of the Holy Spirit, to make him seem spooky, so we wouldn't want to cultivate a relationship with him. And so that's not the will of God. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit, the enemy will try to make you get a wrong picture of who the Holy Spirit is. So to make you say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that, because you went to a church one time, and I'm not knocking this. You know, I grew up in an emotional church, you understand? But, you know, they got real excited, and you might not be an excited person. So you just want to come and listen, and that's okay. Everybody responds to the Holy Spirit differently. So you saw it, and they wanted to grab you and run around three times, and you left saying, I am never going to that church again. And they said, that was it. And he's not an it, he's a person. You got it. And he's a gentleman. And so we have to understand that Satan will try to make him look, you know, spooky or whatever, so you won't cultivate a relationship with him, when really Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go. And if I go, watch this now, if I go, he's going to come, he's going to lead you, he's going to guide you, he's going to help you, he's going to check you, he's going to correct you, he's going to teach you all things, and not only is he going to be with you, he's going to be in you. So when you wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit is there. When you go to work, Holy Spirit is there. When you come home, Holy Spirit is there. When you get on a plane to go visit your family and you're by yourself because your spouse stayed back, the Holy Spirit is still there. He's never, ever going to leave you. Anytime you need him, you just got to say, hey, can I talk to you? And he's right there. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap right there. Now, when you look at the evidences of being filled with the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, there's actually four things. This is nothing that they have on the screens back there, because I'm going to go through these rather quickly. I just want to show them to you. When you look at the evidences, the first thing I want you to see is power. Everybody say power. We understand in Acts, in the book of Acts, he says, you shall receive power after about the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the earth. And so that's found in Acts 1 and 8, you know, day of Pentecost, you know, a cloven tongues come, and that kind of thing. And so with power, I'm going to talk to you about tongues in a separate lesson. I'm not sure if it's going to be this Tuesday or next Sunday, but anyways, I'm going to get to that. But I want to push something when it comes about power. I believe that we have an access of power in our lives for a lot of reasons, a whole lot of reasons. But I believe one of the biggest reasons that we have an access of power is so that we can live a victorious, overcoming life. I believe that. You know, talking about power for right living and those kind of things, I believe that he gives us the power to live right. He gives us the power to walk right. He gives us the power to talk right. He gives us the power to make right decisions. He gives us the power to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Does that make sense? Watch this. Watch this. Because you can invite somebody to church and you should. You can tell somebody about Jesus and you should. But what if I'm telling you about Jesus, inviting you to my church, and we're at Walmart, you go over into that line, and then I come over here to this line, and you still hear me because I'm over here, and the line is long, and the lady's taking, you know, a long time, and I'm like, man, I wish they'd hurry up around here. This don't make no bleeping bleep 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 sense, and I wish they would bleep 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 bleep. Guess what? No matter how much I just talk to you about Jesus, no matter how much I just talk to you about coming to church, watch this, you have to understand that the witness that I just showed does not portray the person that I just said I was, and ain't nobody coming to church. Does that make sense? But when I have the power, hear me now, you want to talk about accessing this power, even if, watch this, I haven't yet invited you to church, you on my list, you're at my job, but watch this, you will come to me and say, I just noticed there's something about you. You're just always friendly, you're always happy. You know, this work environment is kind of stressful, but you always seem to have a smile on your face. Boom, just like that. Now the Holy Spirit has opened the door. And you can say, well, I'm glad you asked. You got a few minutes, and you can begin to talk to them about how God changed your life. Can I give you, well, let's get out of here, Courtney. I'm just taking too long, but it's okay. No, because I told them, hey, I got to be done at this time, and I did it good at the 9, but, it's just flowing differently at the 11. But can I be honest with you about something? I think the greatest testimony, one of the greatest testimonies of having the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and of course, I'm going to talk about our heavenly language and how we pray the perfect will of God for our lives and how it empowers us and those kind of things. And I think that's important, but really that's just for us. The Bible says that we build ourselves up. So really, it's okay, but that's more of just a us thing. But when we really begin to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and people can see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, when they see the love and the joy and the peace and the temperance and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the patience and the meekness, I believe that that is the biggest testimony of who God really is. Because watch this, when I look good, I make God look good in the earth. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit is with me. He's with me all the time. He's with me to help me. He's with me to check me. He's with me to correct me. And I want him to do them all. So when I'm doing good, I want him to applaud me and keep pushing me. That's it, son. Keep swinging. Stay in the fight. But when I make a mistake, I'm going to say, hey, no, don't do that. And we have to really cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit where we say, I'm yours. Everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I got, I want you to use me. I want you to help me. Because my tongue gets a little crazy sometimes, so I need you to help my tongue. Or somebody else says, my attitude can get off sometimes, so I need you to help me with my attitude. Somebody else says, I don't know how to talk to my wife sometimes because I'm mean, right? But next thing I know, I'm raising my voice. I need you to help me. You got to know that he helps you in every area of your life. And the thing I love about God is that when the Holy Spirit begins to help you, he don't beat you up. You know, if you like me, you realize you did something wrong, you already feel bad. Right? So the Holy Spirit doesn't come out, boom, that's what I'm talking about. You need to learn next time. That's not Holy Spirit. But he comes right alongside. He says, no problem. But next time, do it like this and do it like that. What is he doing? He's teaching me. And the Bible says he'll teach me all things. So he's my helper. He's my friend. And then number three, he's my God. He is God. See, a lot of people have a hard time seeing it like this because they've limited Holy Spirit to just a force. But he's not a force. He's a person. And he's a third person in the Godhead. And so, Holy Spirit, he is God. Holy Spirit is like his descriptive name. Like, y'all know Jesus has descriptive names, right? King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The Father has descriptive names, Jehovah Jireh, but it's really at the end of the day, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I want to show you a couple scriptures real quick in our clothes just to show you. And they're going to just throw them up there so that way you'll know where you'll see in one scripture how we're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you can see them all in one scripture. John 14 and 16, they'll put it up on the screen. Watch what it says. And I, that's Jesus, will pray the Father, that's the Father, and he will give you another helper, that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Now watch in John 14, 26, he's still talking. He references it again. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, that's the Father, will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I, Jesus, said to you. Can I give you another one? John 15 and 26. But when the helper, Holy Spirit, comes, who I, Jesus, shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Holy Spirit will testify of me. I think this next one is really, really cool. Because we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in one location at one time. Luke 3 and 22. Remember when Jesus was getting baptized by John the Baptist? Look at this. All three in one location. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, that's Holy Spirit, like a dove upon him. Who was him? Jesus. Because he was the one that was getting baptized, right? So we see Holy Spirit at that one location. We see Jesus at that one location, and then here comes the Father, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. He's my helper. He's my friend. He is my God. Now that last point, he's my God, that's tough for some people. They're like, I believe Holy Spirit, but him being God, that doesn't make sense. So let me give you one last scripture, and we're going home. Can y'all take one more? Acts 5 and 3. Acts 5 and 3. Y'all remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? They bought some land, and they could really give what they wanted off the land. And instead of just being honest and saying, hey, we bought it for $100,000, want to give you for $50,000. Now, the Bible didn't tell those numbers, you understand that? They said, you know, they gave $50,000. Oh, no, we gave you the whole $100,000. And they didn't even have to lie. But that's not really the point I want to get to. I want to show you that Holy Spirit is God. Watch what Peter talks to him. But Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep that part of the price of the land for yourself? Watch this. He said, it's not that we had a problem with you keeping part of the land for a price for yourself. He says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? You could have done what you wanted to do. So you could have sold it for $100,000, said, I'm going to give the church $50,000. Everybody would have clapped. You had $50,000. It wouldn't have been no problem. But he said, why would you allow your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So watch what he says at the last part, because he just referenced him as Holy Spirit. He says, you have not lied to men, but you lied to God. And so he's my helper. He's my friend. And he's my God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building.